Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Chant the intro.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
Christ our Lamb.
and also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ, united with him in holy baptism. Give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work, and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. Reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord, to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back, until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their deeds. Am I not a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? Have I heard what the prophets have said, prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed? How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets, who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 119 responsively, starting at verse 81.
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word.
My eyes long for your promise. I ask when the meek encounter thee.
For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes.
Thank you.
faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia and verse.
According to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In 578, you may be seated.
Our stronger dear.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, from our text in Hebrew and Luke, we have two pictures before us, the baptism of fire and the running of a race. Fire. Fire burns, cleanses, melts, and scorches. It can burn down a forest, but it purifies gold and silver. Fire is used to cook one's food, but you also can use it to kill all the weeds out in the field. Fire burns, it cleanses. Then there's a race. Perhaps you're on a track team, the track meet, ran the 100-yard dash or the 1 mile race. There's cars in the Formula One racetrack. People ride their bicycles in competition races. Your children have fun running and racing in the backyard. We all enjoy a good race, running for the prize. What does Jesus mean today when he says that he comes to experience a baptism of fire? And what does the apostle mean when he says we run with endurance the race that is set before us? Those are two pictures we have today. So we begin first with the picture of the baptism of fire. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth. Would that were already kindled. What is Jesus speaking about? He's talking about the wrath of God that's going to fall upon him on the cross. God's word is like fire. It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. He says, I wish it was kindled already, because on judgment day, the fire of God's wrath will fall down upon all wickedness and unbelief in the world and will burn up the entire universe with fire. But Jesus is speaking about a baptism of fire that's going to fall on him. I have a baptism to be baptized with. What was that fire? His crucifixion on the cross. The fire of God's wrath fell upon Jesus. He was forsaken by God. God's wrath was poured out upon Jesus. This is what we mean when we say the sin of the world was placed on Jesus. On the cross, he was forsaken so we can be accepted. Our sins were placed on him so his righteousness can be placed on us. But he says, how great is my distress. You know, Jesus was a true man. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was considering that he was soon to be crucified and scourged, it says he was in great distress. His sweat was coming like drops of blood pouring out of his face and falling to the ground. Jesus actually did suffer physical pain and spiritual distress when our sins and the baptism of the fire of God's word was placed upon him. He said, until it is accomplished. Now that is exactly what Jesus said in the last words from the cross. It is finished. And then said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is what Jesus was saying. What was accomplished and finished was this. Sin of the world had been placed upon him. The sacrifice was complete. God the Father turned his back on his Son. And when Jesus said, it is finished, the Passover lamb had now been sacrificed. And in the blood of the cross, God will now pass over our sin because of the blood of Christ in our place. It is finished and it is accomplished. The baptism of fire did fall upon our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise to him who bore our sin and gives us his righteousness. But Jesus describes something that flows from this preaching. He said, I did not come to bring peace on earth, but division. This seems to be exactly the opposite of the way that we picture Jesus. Jesus indeed is our peace between the Father and us. But he said, on earth. Jesus did not come to bring what we call earthly peace. Because this is what happens. A gospel goes forth. Some people believe it, some people do not. Jesus used the example of five people. Father and mother, they were believers, but the son, the daughter, and the daughter-in-law were not, or vice versa. And so now within the family, you have two groups of people. People who believe in Christ and people who do not. This cuts close to home to many people. Because many of us among our family and friends have people who don't believe. And even though they're in our family, there's a division there. Those who believe and those who not believe. It is true, Jesus is our peace, the heavenly peace. In Christ, we are at peace with God the Father. We're at peace with ourselves and we're at peace with others because the blood of Christ has cleansed us. But this is heavenly peace, not earthly peace. The reality is, you have a new family, the body of Christ, the church. You see, your family is much bigger than your mother, father, children, and siblings. You're in the church through holy baptism. You are in the body of Christ, which is made up of Jews, Gentiles, all nations, all tribes, all peoples, male and female. The body of Christ is our true family now. What's so beautiful about that reality is that even though there may be division on earth between those who believe and do not believe, when you gather with fellow Christians, it's a family, you are part of a family, the body of Christ. So the people that are older than you, you can treat as your parents, the people that are your age, like your brothers and sisters, people younger than you, like your grandchildren. Because we are the part of the body of Christ, the family of Christ. Christ is our peace. He came to give us heavenly peace, not earthly peace. That's what the baptism of fire means. Then the second picture is the running of a race. Running the race to the finish line. The apostle talks about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we walk by faith, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Judah, Moses, the Israelites, Joshua at Jericho, and Rahab. Now, the apostle was familiar with these Roman cities, which the archaeologists are still digging up. Almost all these Roman cities had a Colosseum, a place for thousands of people to sit and watch the race or the competition. This is a picture he has. The great cloud of witnesses, the people who've gone on before us, are as if they're in a Colosseum cheering you on while you are running your race. And this is the thing we must understand. Christ ran the race before us. It was Jesus who saw the joy set before him. It was Jesus that endured the cross. It was Jesus who was the Passover lamb, and his sprinkled blood is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It was Jesus who destroyed all of our enemies. It is Jesus who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Lord Jesus was willing to go through this suffering because he could see the joy set before him, ascended to the right hand of God, but he still had to despise the shame and the hostility of sinners. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You are running a race where Jesus has gone before you, and you look down at the end of the finish line, and there Christ and the saints are waiting for you. This is very real in the congregation because every year people in our congregation die and they pass away. And they finished their race. You are still alive. You still are running your race. But Christ is the one who ran it before you. In Christ Jesus, he says, we lay aside every weight, everything that clings to us, sin closely clinging to us, lay it aside and run with endurance the race set before us. Now, if you've ever been on the track team, and I was, sometimes in training, you would put weights around your ankles and around your arms, and you would work out with these weights. And when you took the weights off, you were light as a feather. So now when you ran, those weights were gone. He's saying that those weights are our sins, that we let them go. We give them to Christ. We let those sins go away in the blood of Christ. And now we can run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, crucified, buried, raised, ascended, and returning one. Don't grow weary or faint-hearted, he says. So this means in your daily vocation as husband, wife, child, employer, employee, whatever your line of work, in your daily vocation, you run your race. So that every day as you read the Word of God and pray, you're praying for other people, you're helping them, you're loving even your enemies because you're running the race that's set before you. My friends, we have learned, all of us, that only through hardships and suffering do we truly grow closer to Jesus. When things are going well, we think, oh, everything is great. We often forget about Jesus. But when we are hard-pressed and afflicted, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Through hardship, you will grow closer to your Lord. Through cross and shame, you know He is seated at the right hand of God, and He will bring me through this race with perseverance before the great cloud of witnesses in heaven. And it's true. The law of God still today burns up excuses, lethargies, and sin. The law of God is still a hammer that breaks rocks. And yes, we fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus picks us up in that race with His good news, the gospel. He bore the fire of God's wrath. He ran the race before us. Baptized in the cooling waters of baptism. No more fire, only cooling water. No more fear, instead faith. Faith to go forward, rejoicing in the baptismal waters, walking by faith, because Jesus bore the fire for us. He ran the race before us. May we run the race with endurance, walking by faith in Christ Jesus, as we look forward to the joy that is laid up for us in heaven. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We turn to page 158 and we stand to speak the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. In one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. Strengthen our hearts in the days of difficulty to confess in our words and lives your glory, the glory of your name, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless this congregation and our life together around the word and the table of the Lord. Grant that the work of God would go forth from this place. bless our church, early childhood, campus ministry, international student ministry, ESL, Sunday school, Bible classes, all that we do. Bless and prosper everything according to your will, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you called Jeremiah as a youth and used him in your service. We give you thanks for all of our daily vocations, for us and for our children. By your word, strengthen us in daily life to grow as your people. Keep us in your care. This week, bless those who celebrate their baptism and birthday, Caleb Hartman, Aaron Lee, Gina Richardson, Kagan Hager, Chris Anderson, Jamie Huntley, and Lexi Merchant, Rowan Ullman, Natalia Richards, and those who celebrate their anniversaries, Ken and Pat Orkies, Eldon and John Aju, David and Kathy Nairns. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you shepherd the nations according to your word. Grant our rulers wisdom and faith to serve for the good of our people, to promote peace and quietness for the flourishing of every godly endeavor. Bring an end to the war in the Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Syria. And bless Daniel, Gabe, Mike, Alex, Calvin, and Eli as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, grant healing to the sick, recovery to those recovering from surgery. Grant strength to the weak and endurance to all under trial. This week be with Sarah Lemke, Pastor Lee Hagen, Mike Knox, Raymond Sendebach, Amber Ward, Candy Darmody, and Benny Tinney. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, your dear Son suffered and died for our redemption. Embolden us by the witness of the great company of saints who remain faithful unto death, that we would likewise fix our eyes in Christ, and so share in his victory over the grave. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings, take the attendance pad at the end of the pew, fill it out, and please place the sheet in the basket in the narthex. We now gather the offerings. You may be seated.
Offertory page 159, we stand to sing.
Call.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary, for our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testimony. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. who by your wounds resurrected and sorrow, which will make the body and soul to life everlasting.
Thank you.
Canticle, page 164. We stand to sing.
Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.